now come to work. Members may indicate their presence. Senator Vetrovic?
Mr. President, I don't like to start the day off on a note of sadness, but I have to report just a short time ago that our esteemed colleague Senator Ray had been confined to his home with laryngitis.
I think there's some word of condolence, hoping that he'll be well at least by the 1st of May.
Secretary of the House. Senator Poland?
It might be contagious.
There are 17 members present. Senator Ferguson is excused.
Reverend the chaplain, Reverend Robert.
That's great. Sometimes it seems, oh God, that no matter how hard we try, we still come up short. We struggle to do the best we can, and life slaps us in the face. We work hard and sometimes end up with nothing. We need to learn from you, oh God, about how to run our lives, make decisions, work with others, and serve you, even when they seem in conflict. Give us the love and wisdom to be able to truly distinguish between success and failure in living of our lives and doing our work. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the practice of the journal for the 67th legislative day.
Senator Cotilla. Senator Cotilla moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal.
I'd like to correct that to say the 78th legislative day.
Is there objection? Without objection. Introduction of guests. Senator Vetrovic.
Mr. President, in the gallery here, hidden away by the door, is one of our former colleagues and longtime friend of mine from Fairbanks, Senator Ed Burton.
Senator Mertes, as a former member of this body, you have the privilege of the floor.
Well, chance to never pass up the opportunity. It's good to be here. I remember when I served in the Senate at about this time. I began to wonder whether you're in an ivory tower, what the people back home are thinking. And I heard you speak with President Fairbanks and so forth. But I just want to say it's a pleasure to be here and tell you that probably one of the most popular things that reported in the newspaper about the action of the legislature is proposed resolution that would disband every regulatory agency and make them prove themselves every 6 years or 3 years. I just want to encourage you that that's extremely popular and hope you seriously consider it. And secondly, I know you're going to all get out by May 1st and what a pleasure to be here. And I sort of miss it in a way. Another way I don't. I certainly appreciate Senator Buttigieg's introduction and the opportunity to say a few words and wish you the best, and I hope to see you all home on May 8th.
Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, all the gentlemen that I have a position to introduce in the gallery, and today we have a lovely lady from my district, Mrs. Carrie Dunham.
Further introductions? Senator Cotilla.
Mr. President, today it's a great pleasure for me to introduce, on behalf of Senator Ray, who was absent for the first time in as long as I can remember, present from Glacier Valley School 5th grade today in the gallery, and at least then we could applaud them all then together, Mrs. Holst, who's the parent, Leslie Holst, Gracia Adams, Denise Arsenault, Barbara Green, Teresa Losher, Tracy Lukather, Patty Mission, Debbie Milburn, Janice Randall, Valerie Stokes, and Kim Larson.
Further introductions? Messages from the governor.
A message of March 30. Dear Mr. President, I have allowed the following bill to become law without my signature and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Bill Number 760, amended Senate, Chapter 26. I have allowed the bill to become law without my signature to evidence the substantial reservations which I have about the wisdom of the bill. The inflexibility inherent in government is compounded by a bill of this nature. Funds appropriated for one purpose cannot, under this bill, be used to provide a solution to a new or expanded problem, even if it is critical to the well-being of Alaskans. In the future, there will be problems which will arise that require governmental intervention beyond the specific levels contemplated when the budgets for state activities are prepared. A governor may be in the uncomfortable circumstance of deciding between reallocating the money to meet the emergency and thereby being in violation of this law, or calling special sessions of the legislature to shift needed funds. The state of Alaska will no longer be able to react rationally and quickly to these problems unless the legislature and the administration work together in good faith to assure that the appropriation bill is reasonably constructed. Careful attention must be directed during the final stages of budget preparation to the reasonable classifications of allocated and appropriated funds. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. There are no other governor's letters.
Messages from the House.
Message of March 26. The House has concurred in a Senate amendment to House Bill Number 195, Alaska National Guard Activity Duty Training, thus adopting House Bill Number 195, amended by the Senate. This has been signed and returned. The following bills have been sent from the House. House Bill Number 185 by Representatives Smith, Byrne, Hershberger, Miller, and Specking. An act expanding Denali State Park.
Resources.
House Bill Number 730 by Representative Duncan. An act providing for a tourism economic impact study and authorizing a data collection system and providing for an effective date.
Commerce, Finance.
House Bill Number 731 by Representative Duncan. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a study and the establishment of a data collection system and providing for an effective date.
Commerce, Finance.
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
There are no standing committees.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
There are no resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 720 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the reacquisition of oil and gas leasehold interests in Kachemak Bay and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
There are no other bills.
Bring us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, although I chair the committee that offered this legislation, has been considerably changed in the Finance Committee, and the member that had the subcommittee is absent because of plane connections and bad weather. So I would move that Senate Bill 582 be held over in second reading until tomorrow's calendar.
Senator Curtula moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 582 be held in second reading until tomorrow's calendar. Is there objection? Without objection, here in second reading on tomorrow's calendar. Senator Curtula.
President, after a considerable amount of debate this morning in conference with the people and proponents, very sincere advocates of the Horse Racing Commission, it was believed that the vote on the other Thursday was significant. So I would move and ask consent that House Bill 356 be returned to Rules Committee for attempting to get a study on it with some real in-depth backup for those that are fearful of some of the positions.
Senator Curtula moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 356 be returned to the Rules Committee. Is there objection? Without objection, House Bill 356 is returned to the Rules Committee. Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I ask you to consideration of getting something for stuff for 660.
We have before us Senate Bill 666.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 666, an act relating to motorcycle safety and providing for an effective date.
Senator Gruber.
Mr. President, everyone here has heard all the pros and cons of this act. I don't want to listen to me anymore, so I just ask for a question.
Further discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Bill 666 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 13 yeas, 4 nays, 3 absent.
There is an effective date on it.
President, I move the effective date clause.
Senator Cotillo moves the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 17 yeas, 3 absent.
So Senate Bill 666 with an effective date clause passes. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 529.
Senate Bill number 529 amended by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to property tax exemptions and providing for an effective date. And I have two more amendments on my desk. Amendment number 2 by Senator Cotillo. Page 2, lines 11 through 15, after the word borough, delete all language through line 15.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, I move the amendment. Mr. President.
Senator Cotillo moves the adoption of amendment number 1. You have the floor, Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, one of the very first actions I was ever involved with as a freshman legislator was one that removed the lien from the program that was the old age assistance at the time, considered a pension to the old timers. The old timers wouldn't come in and accept very needed help because there's a lien on the property, and I found out it cost the state more money to collect the lien than they ever got going through the court system. And Mr. President, the regulations can be drafted so as to require a double reporting, and double reporting here, and those individuals can have if we have to adopt other legislation in some manner to require that the land still be liable for any assessment to if it's changed, the purpose has changed, we can do it. But we must explore every other avenue before we place a lien on for this purpose. Now, most people aren't going to be involved. If the borough is required in order to get state support for the program to let the state know that Mr. X has 5 years of agricultural preference right, that's what they should do. Say, in order to be eligible, or the borough, in order to be eligible, shall have this required, or doesn't get the money from the state, the borough properly report it. If we have to go after them for falsifying, we'll do it. But I do not believe that we should place a lien on this property as a requirement. It's absolutely unacceptable. My constituency that now has to go through and give their income tax forms and so on, which they're violent about, which is nothing we require in law. and I oppose a lien until every other method has been explored to solve if this is a problem. And I think, like John Rader says, this is the solution to a non-problem. These people get a special tax provision for agriculture. They can't convert for seven. They cannot convert without paying back for 7 years. We raise the interest rate to 8%. This is the way it should be, and this is the way it will be. And there isn't going to be. There aren't going to be people of this class that are going to try to beat the system anyway. They just don't. They historically haven't. I support strongly that amendment.
Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, we have three of these.
Senator Stannity. Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent for Senator DeFuel's amendment.
Senator Rohde asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number two. Senator Miller objects. You have the floor, Senator Miller.
Mr. President, I don't quite understand. I'd like to hear the other side of the coin. We don't have much of this governor's bill left anyway here after the amendment. It seems to me like it's a standard tax lien that everybody else has to worry about on their homes. Here you've got a case of a particular party getting a special exemption, and then they violate that exemption and owe the state money back for some years back. It appears to me as though we ought to treat them like we treat any other taxpayer. The taxpayer, incidentally, is subsidizing this to start with, because we're keeping it at an artificially low value. And that's public policy with which I concur. I support the legislation. But I don't think we ought to give them an extra break that we don't give every other taxpayer in the state of Ohio.
Right. Senator Curtillo?
There are other methods besides placing a lien on the property. And perhaps if we'd had time to get into this measure and I'd paid attention, perhaps also I'd have got testimony down here from Burroughs and from others on it. My suggestion, now, this is a far more complicated problem than it might seem to be. I've had to spend some time with it. They have decided that income tax forms shall be included rather than a man's signature. He should go to jail if he lies on the subject, in my opinion, but he shouldn't have to produce income tax form. We're totally exposed, and it doesn't matter to me personally. I'm speaking of the constituency and its independence. Now, the tax lien is going to be considered the same way. I suggest that regulations or necessary law be drafted that within any borough that restitution to the state hasn't been made when there's been an aversion, that amount will be deducted from revenue sharing that goes to the borough or from tax support later that goes to the borough. Make the borough responsible to make the collections. And they'll all come out, believe me, there aren't that many people engaged. But I say don't place a lien until we have explored every other possibility. And for that purpose, and I think Senator Rohde has thought about it and has concurred with me, we should explore them all first. If there's no other way of solving the problem, and I'm certain there is, I'll support the lien in time to come, but I don't want to start that way. And I oppose it for that reason.
Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I appreciate Senator Miller's comments, and his concerns are justified. I think the body concurs with him. However, there are other means of ensuring that the money that is spent for agriculture exemption is not lost. Those means would involve notices in the recording books of that particular district, putting people on notice that this property is under an exemption, that money are owed, and would prevent innocent purchasers in value for taking the property and allowing the person who obtained the exemption to leave the state where he would, for all intents and purposes, be beyond the reach of the courts. The problem with the lien, as Senator Curtillo pointed out, historically in Alaska, is they've been very, very difficult and unsatisfactory and have prevented those people who are most deserving of an exemption from ever obtaining one. Alaskans are very proud and they're very hesitant to put a lien on their property, and I can understand that. And there are other means, there are reporting statutes of doing this, and I would support Senator Curtillo's amendment.
Senator Miller?
But Mr. President, the plain fact is that if most other people who don't get special treatment do not make a timely payment or have difficulty with their property taxes, a tax lien is filed. Now, Mr. President, if we want to handle the matters that the Senator Curtillo suggested, I suspect we ought to hold the bill over so that we can require a mandatory deduction of revenue sharing until the reimbursement is paid, and perhaps permit, if it's not permitted, and I don't think the statute's silent on it, the local government entity to whom the taxes would then be owed to file the lien. It just seems to me we've created a special
favored treatment status here for a small group of taxpayers, which is fine, but why shouldn't we go further than we do for any other taxpayer in the state of Alaska? And I just think we're going too far here today. I really do. We're going too far.
Senator Rody?
Mr. President, in the case of an agricultural exemption, if the taxes on that property are not paid, a tax lien is filed on that property as it would be on any other property. There's no difference. The distinction is when somebody has agricultural property and they apply for an exemption, the first thing that's slapped on it is a lien on that property, which puts the title of that property in the state or municipality. And this is what is objected to. If taxes aren't paid, like the rest of us, a lien is put on that property immediately. They receive no favor treatment in that respect. But they do, for all intents and purposes, lose a good portion of their title at the time they apply for this exemption. And it's an important policy question. This body has decided that agricultural land in Alaska is valuable enough that we should give it some small measure of preference. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ready to vote? The question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. Number 2 is adopted.
Amendment number 3 by Senator Ray. Page 1, lines 14 and 15. Delete both lines in their entirety and insert an exemption which was granted by the borough or city, or which upon proper application by an individual would have been granted by the borough or city under section 25A of this.
Senator Cotilla.
President, I'll move the amendment and I'd ask to be reread.
Senator Cotilla moves the adoption of amendment number 3. Secretary will reread it.
Page 1, lines 14 and 15. Delete both lines in their entirety and insert. Would you like this read in the context instead?
Please.
I'll read the whole sentence. However, reimbursement will be made to a borough or city for revenue lost to it only to the extent that the loss exceeds an exemption which was granted by the borough or city, or which upon proper application by an individual would have been granted by the borough or city under section 25A of this chapter.
Senator Stannity. Senator, come to order. Senator Rody.
Mr. President, Senator Ray's amendment is aimed at ensuring that section 1 is very clearly indicates that the exemption that is talked about is the local optional exemption and not the senior citizen exemption, and for that reason, I would ask unanimous consent.
Senator Rody asks unanimous consent. Senator Miller objects. Senator Miller, you have the floor.
I would still like to have the amendment explained, but I don't understand.
Senator Rody, Mr. President, this will probably explain the whole bill also. Presently, a senior citizen exemption is granted throughout the state on property tax, and we all know certain boroughs, municipalities can provide optional tax relief in forms of, for example, the North Slope Borough provides a $10,000 exemption from property tax, a basic 10. And assuming that a house is worth $50,000, the initial exemption for $10,000 would apply to that house. And then the senior citizen property tax exemption would take care of the other 40. Unfortunately, under the present law as it exists now, that municipality can have the state reimburse it for the entire $50,000 rather than the $40,000 to which it is entitled, because it has of its own initiative given a $10,000 property tax exemption for everybody. What we're doing is reimbursing certain municipalities and boroughs for their exemptions when an equally deserving municipality may not get one. The state is providing the additional difference between the senior citizen exemption and the optional exemption. The state is picking up the optional exemption that any local government may wish to give everybody. This, of course, is a drain on the state treasury, and this is the reason for this legislation, is to close that loophole so that a local government would be reimbursed for only the amount of reimbursement that would be due to a senior citizen and not more.
Senator Huber?
President, this is kind of a question to the chair and Senator Rogge, but also a bit of a statement, I suppose. It appears to me that one man's loophole may be another man's breathing hole. And I'd like to ask Senator Rogge, to the chair, if in the case of the North Star Borough, which has a senior citizens exemption, which was passed well ahead of any exemption granted by the state of Alaska for senior citizens, that now with this so-called loophole closing, would we then be saying, well, we will penalize you because you had such an exemption on the book before we passed ours, and the only way that you can allow the senior citizens in your area to be exempt from property tax, unless you want to take it right out of your own tax rolls, is for you to repeal yours and let it rest on the state. All we're doing now, it looks like, is since the state come along and said me too and passed the senior citizen exemption on property taxes after many boroughs did, is that the state just picked up the tab equally throughout the state, whether it's in a borough or without a borough. It looks to me like putting this amendment in now would penalize those who have it in their statutes and say, you put it in your statutes, so you pay for it. If you don't have it in your statutes, we'll pay for it elsewhere. And that may be one man's loophole, but it's another one's breathing.
Senator Stanley.
Mr. President, I'm not a little bit of a loss to answer Senator Huber's statement. The state does pick up the senior citizen exemption. This would not change the amount that a senior citizen would have to pay in taxes. What it does affect is the amount that the state will give to local government. And it's my own feeling that we should not provide money for the individual taxing schemes of the various local governmental units in the state of Alaska. If a municipality wishes to give an exemption and provide largesse to its citizens, I would encourage them to do so. But I would also encourage them not to ask for state money from other areas of Alaska that other local taxpayers have come by to pay for that largesse. And that's precisely what the existing statutory language would do, and it's this misuse that the bill is addressing and would close up. It would have no effect on senior citizens, the amount of tax they pay. It would have an effect on the amount of money that a local governmental unit will get back from the state.
Senator Chance?
I'd just like to ask a question to the chair. Is the amendment an attempt to keep the municipality from getting a double reimbursement on exemptions? I mean, they would be able to claim an exemption under the senior citizen plus an exemption under something else, and they get a double exemption, or they get a double reimbursement, and the amendment would say they'll only get the reimbursement under each statute that they are. Is this what the amendment is attempting to do?
Senator Rowe, Mr. President, yes, there is a double reimbursement, because we're reimbursing the local government for any options that it wishes to put out in terms of exempting property. The seniors, assuming with a $50,000 hypothetical house, the senior citizen will not be charged on any portion of that. The question is, if the local government wishes to give an optional exempting, all property in the North Slope borough, which is a probably good case in point, should the state have to pick up on the senior citizen exemption, that first $10,000 that the borough has given to everybody, should we have to pay for that exemption?
Why?
Right.
Senator Huber?
Well, Mr. president, I still seem to have problems. Maybe I can phrase my question to Senator Rohde so it's a little more articulate. At the present time, the state exempts senior citizens' property if they have an income of less than $10,000. In my community, if the same law existed in borough statutes, that they would be exempted to the same extent. As I understand the present law, the state would come in and reimburse the city for the lost revenue, or the borough for the lost revenue. Now, if you pass this bill with this amendment, would they still get reimbursed for this single lost revenue, not double lost revenue? Or would they then have to bear it themselves because they had a law on the book? I think I phrased the question so I can understand.
Senator Rohde,
who's present? Who's standing east for a moment?
Senator Stanley. Senator, come to order. Senator Cotulla.
Mr. President, there's been a request for recess. I move and ask unanimous consent to waive recess. Call the chair for 5 minutes.
Senator Cotulla moves and asks unanimous consent to Senate stand in recess to call the chair. Without objection, Senate stand in recess. Senate will come to order. Senator Coletta.
Thank you, President. My please revert to the objection.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce longtime Anchorage resident and the son of Representative Helen Fisher, Dick Fisher.
Further introduction. Further discussion on the adoption of Amendment Number 3. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I think I've explained to a number of my colleagues here today the implications of this legislation, which is considered minor, and I believe the amendment does do the required task. One of the basic problems is under the existing law, a municipality can receive money for an exemption, and then turn around and require the citizen to pay if he doesn't timely apply for the exemption. If there is a local exemption, and he doesn't timely apply for it, the local government can collect the money for that exemption, say $10,000, and yet collect on the full value of his house in form of state reimbursement. So the state is in effect collecting, or the local government is in effect collecting twice. Once from the individual if he doesn't make a timely application, and secondly from the state for the full value of his house. I think this is unconscionable and, you know, should not be allowed to happen. This amendment, this bill has no effect on senior citizens. It will have absolutely no effect on the present property tax exemption we give them.
Further discussion?
I believe I asked unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent was requested. There was objection. Senator Huber, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I listened carefully and I believe I know what, I still can't get it to read what Pat say in regard to the first sentence. Now the second, I can understand it in regard to the second sentence, but in the first sentence, in context, it would read, however, reimbursement will be made to a borough or city for revenue lost to it to the extent that the loss exceeds an exemption which was granted by the borough or city. Well, at the present time, as I understand it, if the city or the borough has an exemption, they get the exemption for this, but they wouldn't get it anymore. Now, the second part, upon proper application by an individual who would have been granted the borough by the borough or city, I can understand that this would make it to apply to the actual ones that were granted the exemption rather than those that were eligible. But it still looks to me like that first sentence would stop my borough from receiving the exemption for senior citizens' personal property.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall Amendment Number 3 be adopted? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. Amendment number three adopted. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo?
President, I have some further amendments. I'm going to ask unanimous consent for Senate Bill 529 as amended, considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed upon its last.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 529 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 529.
Senate Bill number 529 amended, an act relating to property tax exemptions and providing for an effective date.
Further discussion?
Question.
You ready to vote? Question is, Senate Bill 529 passed the Senate. Senator, you may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Any senators are to change his vote? Senator Miller? Any other senators are to change his vote? Secretary, I'll take the roll.
There are 12 yeas, 5 nays, 3 absent.
Senator Curtillo?
President, I move Section 4.
Senator Curtillo moves the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Everybody vote. Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Any senators are to change his vote?
Thank you. 17 yeas, 3 absent.
Senator Couture, will you move the adoption of the effective date clause? Section 4 was the retroactive provision.
Mr. President, I move the Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
You can have unanimous consent that section, the vote on Section 4 be considered the vote on Section 5.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the vote on Section 4 be considered the vote on Section 5.
Senator Curtillo moves and ask unanimous consent the vote on Section 4 be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, Senate Bill 529 with an effective date clause passes the Senate. Senator Paul?
President, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 529.
Senator Poland's notice of reconsideration to be noted in the journal. I have before us in second reading Senate Bill 602.
Senate Bill number 602 by Senators Huber, Croft, Curtula, and Ray, an act relating to parking facilities. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute, and the substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Rohde, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Tillian and Orsini. I have a committee substitute.
Senator Rohde,
move adoption of the committee substitute.
Senator Rohde moves the adoption of the Senate Committee and Regional Affairs Committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, we refresh the memory of the body. The committee substitute deleted the requirement that parking would be free in these structures because of the possibility that someone may have to pay for the building if they use it. Also deleted from the original bill was the requirement that the bill not apply to structures whose primary use is for parking facilities. This is because many buildings adjacent to public buildings are used primarily for parking facilities that are still in fact parking lots for that building.
Senator Huber?
Mr. President, I do not oppose the committee substitute. The section that Senator Rohde mentioned where we have an exemption for parking buildings was made necessary because we had the terms free in the bill originally. When you took one out, it would be necessary to take the other out. Though I still might prefer to have a bill that would say free parking for the public that must go to these state buildings, I can certainly live with this bill and would recommend its adoption.
Further discussion? Senator Ryder?
President, I
I don't understand the bill. I don't understand what you're getting at here. Is the primary sponsor or someone explain to us?
Mr. Huber?
President, to the chair. It's to take care of such problems as we have in Anchorage that I noticed all last summer, and we've had in Fairbanks for many, many years, where the state of Alaska builds fancy new court buildings and other new state buildings, and then provides parking, and every bit of the parking is labeled and restricted. None of it is for the public. It's true that if you're on a petit jury and you go to the new Anchorage court building, there's both a parking lot and a parking structure. If you try to get a parking place there, I attended the meeting there all last summer, as you're probably aware, Mr. President, and many of us did, because Anchorage was a centrally located city for most of our interim committee work. And if you knew where to go in the court building and go see the proper clerk, they had some set aside places for extra jurors that you could get one assigned to you while you was there. But and I did that many times. But John Q. Public has to go to the court building, to the state building. He parks out on the street or finds someplace else. And it's worse in Fairbanks than it is in Anchorage. Most of you are experienced with Anchorage. And this is just to make sure that they live up to the Planning and Zoning Commission's requirements, because all of our major cities have a Planning and Zoning Commission requirement that says that you will have so much space set aside for certain types of buildings. And the state has the right to exempt itself from this, and it has in almost all instances. It did in Fairbanks, and that's what makes the mess around the state building in Fairbanks. There is no parking for John Q. Public, just for inhabitants of the building, state employees. I would like to see John Q. Public taken care of.
Senator Ryder?
Let's assume that I build an office building and require that I have 100 off-street parking spots. And the connection zoning requires that. Under this bill, would I have to prepare a structure for 200 so that half of them could be available and unassigned?
Mr. President?
Senator Huber?
Mr. Chair, I'll answer that. No. This does not apply to anything but state buildings, state-owned buildings, that is not living up to the planning and zoning ordinances for the cities now. But it won't affect
Senator. Senator Ryder?
So, then if the state situation, if they're required to have 100 spaces for their own employees and their own use, under this bill, they would be required to build 200 spaces and make half of them available to the public then. Is that correct?
Either that, Mr. President.
Senator Huber?
If I may answer, they would have 100 spaces, of which half of them would be reserved for public use.
Senator Ryder?
What if you have 100 employees or 100 vehicles, let's say that they're fixed vehicles or they're vehicles, and they're also vehicles of the employees, and you need 100 of them, and that meets the zoning requirement, under this bill, they'd be required to build for 200 spaces, because they need 100 for themselves.
Senator Huber?
If I may answer that, it doesn't apply to telling them how many. It only tells them that judges and other people who attend there, including secretaries, that John Q. Public is at least as important. Don't tell them what level they'll build at, but that they must take into account that John Q. Public is going to be
there. Senator Ryder?
If this law had been in effect when they prepared the parking facility behind us, right over here, one floor would be for the state employees and one floor would be for the public. And half of it would be for the public and half of it would be reserved for legislators or state employees. Is that correct?
If it had been in effect, did you know, when the Capitol parking lot was built, there would be public accommodations made there which are not made today.
I'd say that there might be some legislators with no parking spots.
Senator Miller? Senator Miller?
Mr. President, in connection with that, I'm not certain. Bill doesn't say that we're totally respected, and I'm not certain that the parking structure isn't in existence, and if the planning and zoning requirements aren't already imposed as to how many parking spaces under it will be required to be used by the public, that won't automatically apply to this garage as well as any other. I might add just the information of the body. They had such a problem with it in our hometown of Fairbanks. The commissioner of administration finally decided to try an experiment
and whereby he simply made every parking space in the new parking structure public. And it was on a first-come, first-served basis, many of whom will be state employees using the facility, many of whom may be other people who work in the core area who simply get there before they do. It would be interesting to see how that particular experiment works.
Senator Chance.
Mr. President, I don't see where this, I wish somebody to point out to me where this applies strictly to state buildings. I'm confused. It's in municipal government under zoning and lists the regulations adopted under, that have to be adopted that cover in zoning, and it's, it appears to me that it's talking about the total zoning powers within the municipality and not just on public buildings. And if I'm missing something in the bill, I wish somebody would point out to me.
The question at this point is the adoption of the committee substitute.
I know it.
Right. Senator Huber?
I don't know whether it's going to be any help about this, but the statute mentioned 3510.020 covers the exemptions from planning and zoning, which the state is able to make. And this is reiterating that they may not make that. It is basically, your planning and zoning commissions take care of this already, but they have no power to take care of it for the state, because the state exempts itself under this quoted statute.
Further discussion on the adoption of the committee substitute. Senator Champ.
Well, under the original bill, it says this does not apply to structures whose primary use is for parking facilities. And I guess this is where my confusion is, because what you're addressing yourself to is parking facilities built by the state. And yet the committee substitute appears to apply to any parking structure built by anybody, and I'm just confused.
Senator Huber?
Mr. President, I cannot assure Senator Chance that what she says about the committee substitute may make a difference. It is rather an unfortunate thing that I may share with the body, but just in the normal course of our business, the governor had a bill that allowed that came from the House side that was considered in state affairs, and of course this was this bill ended up in community and regional affairs, and we have affixed some of this same language to the governor's bill at a little lower percentage, and didn't do it quite the same way as community and regional affairs did. And so maybe when I'm analyzing it, I may miss something, because we've been around the bush from both directions on it, and I don't purposely mean to mislead anyone here, but the intent of the bill was to make sure that state structures had to comply to planning and zoning ordinances, and if there wasn't a planning and zoning ordinance, most certainly then they'd have to set aside 50% anyway.
Further, Senator Willis.
Mr. President, to the chair, to Senator Huber, what effect does this have on buildings that are being leased to the state, or state leases a building and has their activities in there?
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, that is the exact situation that exists in Fairbanks, and it is meant to apply to that building.
Further discussion? Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, because of the question that has been raised by Senator Chance regarding the possibility that this may apply to private buildings, I would move and ask unanimous consent to be held over division one for the bail. I check to the chairman of the New Regional Affairs Secretary to determine that it won't apply to any private buildings in the state of Alaska.
Please,
so, Senate will come to order. Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my motion to adopt the committee substitute be withdrawn.
Senator Rohde moves and ask unanimous consent that his motion to adopt the committee substitute be withdrawn without objection. That motion is withdrawn. Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 602 be referred to the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee.
Senator Rohde moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 602 be returned to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Is there objection? Without objection, Senate Bill 602 is referred to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. That concludes the daily calendar. Senator Fertitta.
I move to take up reconsideration of House Bill 686 at this time.
We have before us House Bill 686.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 686 amended by the Senate. An act relating to games of chance and skill.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask unanimous consent that House Bill 686 be held over during the meeting until next legislative age.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 686 be held in the third reading until tomorrow's calendar. Without objection, House Bill 686 will appear on tomorrow's calendar. We move down to unfinished business. Senator Tilley.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate for tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Senator Tilley moves and asks unanimous consent that he be excused from the call of the Senate on March 31st, April 1st, April 2nd. Without objection, Tilley is excused from the call of the Senate. Further unfinished business, special orders. Senator Rader.
I have permission to discuss the newspaper article.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Mr. President, as you recall, some time ago, we had a discussion concerning the capital move, and that was prompted by the editorial policy of the Anchorage Times, in which they had branded those who disagreed with their suggestion as to the possible costs of the capital move as being proponents of a big lie. And they insisted that those who felt that it was an arguable matter and a questionable matter as to what the cost might be were following the tactics of Nazi Germany under the leadership of Hitler. And Mr. President, you may recall that I and others objected to that characterization as being an attempt to stymie and stop public discussion as to what is a very, very important policy decision that has been made by the state of Alaska, the people, and its election that is voting to move the capital. But the further problems with the implementation of that policy and how it's been done. And I insist, Mr. President, that it is a serious problem and a difficult problem. And I insist that it's serves no purpose for the proponents of one side of that issue to insist that those who disagree with them are proponents of the big lie. It seems to me that the people of the state of Alaska, as the senators in this room, must debate these type of issues and at least give each other credit for honesty and for legitimate differences of opinion. And I hold what I consider to be a legitimate difference of opinion to that expressed by the Anchorage Times. I don't object to their expressing their view. I think they should. I only object to their calling me a liar because I disagree with them as to what the facts may be, admitting that I don't know what the facts are yet. They apparently do, and those who disagree with them are liars. I objected to that. And sometimes, as you know, Mr. President, general ridicule is as good a way in debate as any other to make a point. So I suggested that maybe we should name the new capital city Big Lie, Alaska. That truth and consequences in New Mexico. Big Lie, Alaska, why not? Then they could talk about the Big Lie district attorney, and we could have the senator from Big Lie amongst us, you know, instead of from Hoonah or Cleckmon or someplace else. Big Lie senator. Big Lie National Bank, and maybe even the Big Lie Daily newspaper, who knows? All representing Big Lie. And I suggested too that maybe the camp, the bird would be the camp robber and that the city flower would be the blooming idiot. So I get back to the Anchorage Times characterize as my desire to discuss this thing and to insist that everybody had a right to discuss it, as saying that not long ago, I'm quoting from the time, not long ago, Senator John Rader called Alaskans who want to move the Capitol camp rosters and blooming idiots. Rader represents a district in which his constituents voted 5,274 and 1,379 against relocating the Capitol. Thus, Rader appears to be calling his own constituents bad names because he thinks the Capitol should remain an inaccessible and remote location. Well, Mr. President, I wish that the people who dictate, write the editorials, the Andrews Times, would understand that I'm not calling my constituents bad names. I'm not even calling them a bad name. I'm ridiculing them because I think that they're making a serious error when they accuse those of us who disagree with them as pursuing Nazi tactics. It's too bad that the Anchorage Times, instead of being a cohesive and amending force in this state, insists upon being a divisive force, and not even a divisive force that we can meet in reasonable debate. But they insist that we lower ourselves to their level to respond to it. I hope that we don't. I hope that we don't sink to their level and their level of debate. And I hope that by not sinking to their level of debate, we may elevate them ultimately.
Further special orders? Senator Miller?
Without
objection, you have the floor.
Very briefly, Mr. President, because we've had difficulty the last few days getting here, calendars did not reconsider Senate Bill 583 relating to community colleges. I just wanted to indicate the reason I initially reconsidered it. My only concern about it is I fear that we may be starting on a very bad precedent here by breaking off from voter consideration for bond issues for capital improvements to senior colleges from the junior colleges. And I fear, Mr. President, that maybe the first of not intended as such, but may be done is to isolate the four-year colleges in Fairbanks and Anchorage from possible voter support. And for years past, we have tied these together because they are part of the integral university system. And it was for that reason and that reason alone that I reconsidered and have some concern about it. I have no doubt, however, that the House will correct our error. For that reason, I'm not pursuing the matter.
Further special order? Announcement of the committee meeting. Senator Paul.
Senate Finance will meet immediately upon the retirement of the accountant from Anchorage, arrived on the airplane this morning and leaving this afternoon. So we'll have a brief meeting if possible with him. Senate Resources will meet in joint hearings with the House at 1:30 today to hear Mr. Turner of Exxon Corporation.
Senator Ryder.
Joint House-Senate Gas Impact Pipeline Committee will have a very brief meeting starting at 1:30 today on the sixth floor of the court building. The purpose of that meeting will be to be a briefing, in effect, on the third route that has recently been proposed for the routing of the gas pipeline through Fairbanks and down the Galtan Highway. That routing was rejected earlier by both Arctic Gas and by El Paso. It apparently is receiving some notoriety at this time. All senators who have any interest in that are certainly invited to attend and ask questions and participate.
May Senator we have Chan. That,
please? Senator Dundee. Senator Chan.
There will be a meeting of the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee at 1:30 this afternoon in that committee room. The bills will be posted later.
Senator Rody.
Mr. President, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will not meet at regularly scheduled time today at 3 o'clock.
Further announcements? Senator Coletta.
Yes, Mr. President, with the weekly Republican lunch with a feature, Lieutenant Governor Lowell Thomas this afternoon in the Capitol Room.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, Senate State Affairs Committee will meet at 2 p.m. The list of the bills will be posted.
Further announcements? Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, I move NASA consent revert to special orders.
That objection. Revert to special orders.
Mr. President, I move NASA consent has privilege to the floor.
That objection, you have the floor.
Mr. President, for the last two sessions of the legislature, some
highly motivated people, have been sponsoring the public service people and pushing for the parimutuel legislation very sincerely. And they have well recognized that it is a controversial area, that only understanding knowledge of the subject and so on can reverse some of the prejudices on the subject. They spent a great deal of time, effort, money of theirs in getting information the best they could before the legislature, passed the bill through the House, and spent a good deal of time explaining the legislation to the Senate Commerce Committee, passed the bill out, and they spent more time yet bringing it twice before the Senate. I personally want to commend them for the efforts they've made. I also commend them for the recommendation, the action that we took this morning, not trying to antagonize the administration, which felt strongly this time that we'd have to veto the bill until a lot more was known about it. They're going to make effort this coming year to get together with legislators, and they're recommending that we have a public study group formed to debate and to establish to the state of Alaska that this is a desirable program. And again, I want to thank them for the efforts they've made. I want to thank the legislature for having heard and given them the support they have given. And I hope that no one will foreclose their minds and that will indeed support the possibility of a real, honest public study effort made for resolving this, any of the questions we may have on this subject.
Further special orders? Further announcement of committee meetings? Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, I move that and ask consent that we adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection.